I am a spark today, but a beacon tomorrow. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. And the thought for today is, I am a spark today, but a beacon tomorrow. When you have a little spark, and you fan that spark, and you put little chips of wood around it, or little shavings of wood, and then the spark grabs hold of those little shavings and becomes brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. And as it becomes brighter and brighter and brighter, it becomes lighter and lighter and lighter. And it just gets wonderful and wonderful and wonderful. The spark becomes the beacon. Now, when you are on a desert island and you are marooned, you are lost on a desert island, and you get a little fire going. What happens when you get that little fire going? Not much. People can see it, but it's not very impressive. But when you get a big fire, a beacon fire going, then everybody looks at it and they say, oh my goodness, that island must be on fire. There's something going on over there. We should go over and check and see what's going on. And then you get rescued. So you want to get your beacon going so that you leave your mark in your world. Now, this morning, Ingeborg went for a walk, and on her walk, just because it was dark out, she had to use her flashlight. And she was walking along, and I was sitting up in the meditation bench on top of the mountain, looking down into the valley and watching Heinz as he drove to the Swimex to go swimming this morning, and watching Ingeborg as she left the university building, going on over to the Swimex, and just having a ball. Now, I watched you, and I saw your little light shining, and then I saw your light not shining, and then I saw it shining and not shining, and why was it not shining? Because there was another light. She was going by somebody else's light for a while, the light in the middle of the parkway there, and a few others by the embassy. Now, we can all do that like Ingeborg did, and it's a most normal human thing to do. We think that we need someone else's light. Well, I have been practicing walking the mountain path without any light, just with moccasins, not with big clopper shoes on that take care of your feet so you don't stumble and hit something. And just walking along like an Indian might do, with your feet just sort of feeling the surface of the earth and walking smoothly along, and in pitch dark. But I say to myself, I can see the path. And so a beacon light within me illumines the path. Is the light really out there illumining the path? Or is the light within me illumining the path? Do I see the path in me, or do I see the path out there? Now, I said to myself this morning, I wonder if when Daniel was working on the path, he left anything in the middle of the path, like some rubbish, that I might trip over. And then I said, well, you certainly are setting yourself up for it by saying that. So then I said, I see clearly the path. Whether the path is clear or not, I see clearly the path. And if there's anything on the path, like a stick or a stone or anything at all, I see it and I just walk right around it or right through it, but untouched by it. You see, when you're walking by your inner vision, by your inner beacon of light, you can do anything you want to do. You can walk anywhere you want to walk and you always have light. You always have vision. The other day, I saw Heinz driving his golf cart from the Oasis to come over to the swimming pool, and he didn't turn his lights on. He drove in the darkness, just because there was a big moon up there. And the moon made it all so bright and so beautiful, you could see forever. And he just drove right along, snuggled in the light of the moon and the early morning night, and it was very lovely. And he was just so happy, you could just see the radiance of him as he drove along. There's sort of a glow of energy coming from the golf cart, which was, of course, Heinz. This is what all of us do when we live our life in a very meaningful, comfortable way, we live like a spark at first, and then we build that spark into a beacon when we begin to trust in ourselves and believe in ourselves and follow ourselves. Now, I could say I cannot see the path because it's dark. And it is dark now. The moon comes up after I've started on the path. But I can say I can't see, and then I won't be able to see. I can say that it doesn't work, and then it won't work. I can say that the night is so dark I have to have a flashlight. And when the minute you turn the flashlight on, your eyes become accustomed to it, and you turn the flashlight off, and it's really dark. But you can speak to yourself. And you can say, I see with my inner eye. And then you see everything with your inner eye. You see all of the beautiful bushes, and you see the pathway, and you see all of the signs along the way, like the new ones that Daniel has made there. And it's lovely. It's lovely. Have you tried that? Oh, yes, I have. Does it work? Oh, no, it doesn't. Now, you haven't tried it if you say it doesn't work. Because if all of you are masters, all of you are geniuses in working with your consciousness. Now, all you have to do is do one thing. You just say, I can see. And you can see. We are, unfortunately, afraid to use our thinking. We're afraid to use our mind. And when we're afraid to use our mind, we don't get the benefit from it that we could. And when we don't get the benefit from enough, when we don't get the benefit from it, then we are not enjoying it. Now, I just asked Daniel to pull the curtain so that the sun wouldn't be shining in my eyes. Now, Daniel pulled the curtain so that the sun wouldn't shine in my eyes, and so that also I couldn't see out the window. And then Ingeborg wanted to be helpful too, and finished closing up the other side of the blind, so we were sitting in a dark jungle here. And I like light. I like light wherever I am. And if I don't get light, I'll make my own. And you too can do the same thing. If you don't get light, make your own. But here, I am dealing with other people. And what is Ellen's comment constantly? I like light. More light, more light. Turn on the kitchen lights. Don't work in the dark out there. Turn on the kitchen lights. When I built the kitchen out here, I told them I wanted 3 light fixtures in the ceiling. And everybody said, you're crazy. It'll blast your eyes out. It's so bright. And I want 2 giant skylights in the ceiling to let in all the light of the day. Oh, that's going to be so bright and so hot. Well, it's not hot and it's not bright. It's just wonderful. Everyone who works in the kitchen during the day without the lights on is very content and very happy. They have plenty of light. And when they work there at night, everybody seems to think that they should get a candle from Heinz and set it on the sink and then wash the dishes. And you know why, don't you? Because when you don't have light, either your own or light that can come, you don't know that you're not doing a good job. You don't know that you're not washing those dishes well. You don't know that you're not cleaning those pots and pans well. Can you imagine the early pioneers? They worked with kerosene lamps and with candles. And the wife always did the dishes and did them well. And nobody knew. And in the morning, they all got up so early. It's still dark outside with the candle. And nobody knew if the dishes were clean or dirty. They all thought they were clean because mommy washed them. But you washed them with candlelight, and you don't always see too well. So therefore, you have to wash them by your own inner light. How many times have you thought of something, and then the vision came to your mind? You think of a book. Ah, yes, I can see that book. I can see the cover. I can see what the book's all about. Oh, yes, there's a little statuette up there of the Buddha sitting up on the shelf there. Now, I say to you, go get the statue of the Buddha on the shelf there. And you say, there's 2 of them there. Which one do you want? You see, you know there's 2 of them there. Now, are you looking at it? No. You're looking at it in your mind. You're looking at it in your thought. And in your thought, you say, there's a gold one there and a green one there. One's made of jade and one's made of pure gold. And if it were pure gold, it'd break the shelf down. That's pretty heavy stuff. But which one? Which one? So then you make me go in my mind and see the two pictures and decide which one I want. Or maybe I had already decided. But if I had decided, what would I have done? I would have projected my thought to you and said, bring the gold one or bring the green one. Not physically. I just say, bring the Buddha from the shelf. And you say, there's two of them. But you don't say there's two of them. You know the Buddha I want. You know the Buddha I want because you are in tune with me. I am in tune with you. I said, bring the Buddha. Now, which of the Buddhas would you think I would want you to bring? The gold one or the green one? As you look at the two there, they're both smiling, happy guys with their bellies sticking out, ready to be kissed and have somebody get good luck by kissing their belly. And which one do you think that I'd be asking you to bring? Now, you would be guessing wrong if you guess. So don't guess. You did not take your first thought. Your first thought was way back when I started this conversation about the Buddhas. And if you had acted upon that when I first started talking about the Buddha, you know what you would have done? You would have gone immediately for the green one. Because the green one is the first one you see. The gold one is there, but you don't see it right away. Because you're looking on an upward slant. And so you see the green one. And that would be the one you'd bring. Now, why is it that you would take the gold one as your second first choice? Because you would be starting to think. You'd be starting to imagine things. Now, how do you have the light shine out from you? How do you teach the light to shine out from you? You teach the light to shine out from you by first knowing the light is there. By knowing that whatever it is you want to see, you can see it clearly and beautifully and perfectly. You create the light first. Now, when you close your eyes, you can see. When you close your eyes, you see movies all night long. Some of the movies are great and some are not so great. But it's your choice. When you close your eyes, you don't just see darkness. You see a continuation of what you were just looking at. You see a continuation of it. But you see, really, think about this. When you close your eyes, you're not the spark anymore. Now you're the beacon. You're looking past the outer illusion. And you're looking right into Heinz, and you're seeing what's on his mind. You're seeing what's in his heart. You're seeing what makes Heinz tick as a being. And this is what you do with everybody. So whenever you're talking to somebody, if it's convenient without being disrespectful, close your eyes for a moment and look at that person and see the magic that your eyes are ready to behold for you, because it's your creation. You created Heinz the way he is. You created anybody else in your world, and you created yourself. Now, another aspect of this is when you look in the mirror and you look at yourself. When you look at the mirror and look at yourself and you say, I wonder what I'm thinking. Now you say, that's a stupid question. If anybody knows what I'm thinking, it should be me. But you don't even know what you're thinking, because you're thinking so many thoughts at one time. You have so many concepts going on in your mind at one time. I say, Heinz, New Zealand. And I say, Sylvia, think of Heinz in New Zealand. And Sylvia's thought of Heinz in New Zealand is tremendously different from what Heinz's thought of Heinz in New Zealand is. Because Heinz has been there and Sylvia has not. So Sylvia would be projecting. Now, truly, Sylvia's projection of Heinz in New Zealand might be a more realistic picture of Heinz in New Zealand than Heinz's projection of Heinz in New Zealand. Because Heinz thinks of himself in New Zealand with all of the little problems that his life has when he's there. Now, if Heinz could see himself in New Zealand like Sylvia sees him in New Zealand, with just having a ball, doing everything fun and no problems and living in a perfect body and a perfect life and a perfect world and everything perfect, sounds good, doesn't it? Now, if Heinz could see himself that way, but Heinz is all mixed up. He's like the rest of us. He's thinking about his wife. He's thinking about his business. He's thinking about his employees. He's thinking about his new building. He's thinking about his house. He's thinking about the Carters. He's thinking about Katrina. He's thinking about other people who come to his work. He's thinking about his boat. He's thinking about Golden Bay. My goodness sakes, thinking of all those things, when do you have time to think about yourself? When do you have time to really listen for your inner voice? And this is a difficulty. We have so many things on our mind that we don't realize. We're like a big beacon. We're shining on many, many things. Now what we want to do is we want to take this beacon light that we are and learn to focus it. Learn to be one-pointed with it. To point at that which we want to do. You're all familiar with a magnifying glass. And you hold a magnifying glass up to the sun, and it shoots a beam of light down. And if you point that beam of light at a piece of paper, the paper will go poof and just start on fire. Now, that is because the energy has been focused. Now, that's powerful, isn't it? Now, just imagine if you were to focus your thought. No more than a magnifying glass focuses the light of the sun or some bright light. And what happens? What happens? In early surgery by doctors, they had kerosene lamps. And then they had mirrors behind the kerosene lamp focusing the light on the patient. And oftentimes, the patient would get cooked because the lights were so warm that it was cooking the flesh around where the doctors were working. And they had to reduce the intensity of the light because they needed the light. But they had it so focused that they were cooking their patients before they were ready to be cooked. So what can you do to begin to focus in on who you are and get the most out of who you are without having all the confusion of, like Heinz with his job, his house, his car, his wife, his this and that and the other thing? You know, that's very bothersome. That's very bothersome. Now, Heinz is going to visit a lady, a friend of his wife, tomorrow. And when he goes to see her, he's going to say, "Hello. So good to meet you. I have never met you. My wife tells me wonderful things about you. I understand your children do this and you do this," and he rattles off the things that he's been told. And so then they sit and they talk, and pretty soon Heinz is no longer a stranger, and the lady is no longer a stranger. They become friends, and they begin to share things other than the trivial things. They begin to share how they feel about life. They begin to share what sort of things make their life rich and rewarding. They begin to talk about the values that make their life something very special. Now you say, "My God, that gets heavy duty quick in the conversation." Anytime two people are together, and they're harmonious, they're deep. They think deep thoughts. And it may not be as quickly done as I say it here, but they think deep thoughts. When Heinz says to the lady, "So nice to meet you," and she listens to Heinz's voice and hears the sincerity in his voice, hears the love in his voice, hears the caringness in his voice, and hears the greeting from his wife to the lady. The lady said, "Wow, this guy is something else again." It's just in a greeting, because all that you are is percolated out on that same point. You know, you are a beacon shining forth all that you are. You're not withholding anything. "I'm not going to tell this lady that I'm a nice guy. I'm not going to tell this lady that I smoke or I don't smoke. I'm not going to tell this lady that I drink or don't drink. I'm not going to tell this lady that I'm this or that or the other thing." You don't have to. You just be yourself. And the lady will be herself. And you will be two grand people sharing significant thoughts together that you would never have thought possible for two people who are strangers but a moment before. You see, when you tune into yourself, and you let yourself flow, the whole world knows just who you are. We were saying about Daniel here that he has a problem, and it's a big problem. It's a problem that he will never solve in this lifetime, and I don't think he wants to. And the problem is Daniel has learned how to be himself and have fun. He has learned how to live his life as an open book, with nothing to hide, with nothing to say that he is trying to improve or change. He's just being himself. Now, what kind of person is that? Is that the kind of person you like to know? Is that the kind of person you like to have in your life? Mm-hmm. Well, now, Daniel doesn't dare get a big head about this, because I created him. I created him like that. I created Daniel being this supercalifragilisticexpialidocious guy. And you did too. And you did too. And you did too. And you did too. We all created him that way. And of course, he created himself that way too. Yes. And Button, he wants to get his 2 cents in here too. Right, Button? Oh, yes. You're being loved by Ellen there. My goodness sakes. You see? Now, does Button feel that he's being loved? Does Button feel that he's being appreciated? Does Button feel that he has to get down, or that Ellen wants to get rid of him or anything? No way. You see, these vibrations, they come through very clearly. You know that. You know that. But you don't always exercise that. And it's wise to exercise that when you're dealing with people, no matter who the people are. Always be yourself. And if they don't like you, that's great. Get it over with. You know? And if they like you, give them some foundation for it by being who you are. Always be who you are. I've met some people who were not necessarily someone that I'd like to take home and introduce my family, but they were okay. And I dealt with them, and I talked with them, and I Socrates with them, asking them questions and asking them about what their values in life are and what, no, I'm not saying, what are your values in life, you know, giving them an opportunity to say what their values were. And by the time our conversation was running down, you know, getting completed, we had already totally accepted one another as the best of friends. If we never met again, we wouldn't miss each other. But if we met an hour later, or a day, or 2, or a year, we'd be like old friends that had never been apart, because we were one in our vibrations, in our love, in our oneness. Now, this is what you can do. Don't be just the spark. That's just the start. But be the beacon that shines out from within you, honesty, integrity, love, peace, truth, goodness, everything that you could imagine. But wouldn't it be a wonderful world if everyone were like that? Now just a minute. Don't go shaking your heads yes or no. It is a wonderful world because everyone is like that. And that's the way we create them, starting with ourselves. Are you an open book? Are you honest? Do you have integrity? Are you the kind of person that laughs? I like Heinz's thesis in there. He says, my cheeks were, and my cheeks and my, what else? Something else. His cheeks and his, were ready to laugh, you know. And that's a very charming way to put it. You know. His body is tuned up to laugh. His body is ready to giggle. You know, his cheeks and is ready to giggle and laugh. And that's a sort of Anita type of thing. But it's beautiful. It's beautiful because it is so sincere, and it is so simple, and it is so definite. You know exactly what he means. It's that uninhibited laugh, that uninhibited giggle and happiness, you know, where your cheeks just glow with light and your eyes just sparkle with love. These are the things that we can do. We create our own world filled with beautiful people. And if there's anybody in our world who's not very nice, what's the first thing we do about that, Heinz?
I change my image about myself to have a reflection which is nice.
Huh. First off the bat, he gets it. He changes his image about himself, his own reflection. Because the other person was his reflection of unhappiness, apparently. So he said, whoops, I've got the wrong image tuned down here. So then he tunes in his happiness image, and the person instantly changes from being an unhappy person to being a happy person, because Heinz changed his image of himself. He took charge. Now, do the rest of us do that too? You bet. Can we have an unhappy situation come to us and instantly change it to a happy situation? Indeed. It's all just a matter of being yourself and having fun, taking charge of every thought you think and every action you do, and living your life in that perfect, wonderful, fantastic way. So, my friends, I am a spark today, but a beacon tomorrow. And let's reverse that. I am a beacon all the time. Mm-hmm. My sparking days are over. I'm now on fire with love and peace and harmony and goodness and right action and truth. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Bye.